Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. As a tornado swept through St. Louis on Friday, traffic stood still on Interstate 170 near Berkeley, northwest of the tornado's path. The immediate cause of the backup was a handful of drivers who were parked underneath an overpass seeking safety from the tornado. But if we take a step back to deeper-rooted causes, what pops up are some long-held notions about tornado safety, even ones that experts debunked some time ago. So to get a refresher on what keeps us safe during such storms and to get the real on tornado myths, we have two guests. First, we have National Weather Service meteorologist Kevin Deitch. Kevin is warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service based out of St. Louis. Kevin, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Yes, thanks for having me.
And we also have Automobile Association of America spokesperson Nick Chabaria. Nick, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here.
So, Kevin, I'd like to start with something that has been very much in the news, and that is sirens. So sirens as a warning system is under intense scrutiny in St. Louis, with the city failing to set off the sirens during Friday's tornado. What do you see as the role of sirens alongside other warning systems like alerts on our cell phones?
Yeah, first of all, you know, our hearts go out to the city. You know, we are civil servants here that work for the National Weather Service, and our mission is to protect life and property. So when we lose lives, when the property's damaged like it was, it's hard on us as an office here in the Weather Service. So, but yes, getting back to your original question, you know, the sirens are a piece of the puzzle when it comes to warning notifications. They are, you know, typically meant to be heard outdoors for folks that are outside. You know, you've got basketball games, baseball games, things outside, farmers, especially in rural areas. But they're a piece. They're a larger piece to, you know, having a weather radio, having other ways, your cell phone, through the wireless emergency alert system. So there should be multiple ways to get that warning information, because sometimes things fail. Mm-hmm. In this case, the sirens did. But, you know, other times it's power goes out, so your cell phones don't work, or things like that. So mm-hmm. It's very important to have multiple ways to receive information. And that's something that we try to preach, you know, in all of our outreach that we do.
Right. And just so we don't miss this point, we love radio here, obviously. What is a weather radio?
Yeah, so a weather radio is actually a NOAA weather radio. And so you can actually program it to receive information for your particular city, county, where you live. So you can program it to say, hey, let me know when there's a tornado warning issued for the city of St. Louis, and it will alert when that warning does go out.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other methods of getting severe weather warnings to the public if some of the things that you've described are not working as they should?
Yeah, so that's why it's nice to have, you know, you have the sirens, which is a separate system. You have the wireless emergency alert system, which that goes through cell phone towers. So our warnings go out, they hit the cell phone towers, and then if you're in the warning, your phone will go off and say, hey, you're in a tornado warning. Mm-hmm. Then you have the weather radios, which run off of more of a telephone line. So that's another kind of separate entity. It's not cell service. It's more old school telephone lines.
Right.
And then you have, you know, private weather apps, TV, media. So there's multiple ways to get that information, and that's what we always try to say, because sometimes things fail. Mm-hmm. And so redundancy is very, very key in this process.
Right. Well, on today's show, we are busting or giving some validity to common storm and tornado myths, like, is it safe to park under an overpass or bridge during a storm? Or do tornadoes hit cities differently than rural areas? And we want to hear from you. What storm safety tips have you heard over the years? What was your experience during Friday's tornado? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also email us at talk@stlpr.org. I want to ask one more question.
Sure.
About signals or signs. Why didn't Friday's tornado have that classic, you know, funnel cloud look to it?
Yeah, tornadoes are all different. You know, a lot of times we watch Twisters, or, you know, you see the tornadoes out in the plains where there's no trees or things in the way, and they always look picturesque and, you know, a nice solid funnel. But tornadoes really come in all different shapes and sizes. And a lot of it depends on your perspective, too. If you're, you know, west of the tornado or south of the tornado, it might look a little bit different to you. Mm-hmm. So really, they come in all different shapes and sizes. And so this one was one that spun up very quickly and that seemed to become pretty rain wrapped with time. What I mean by that is, you know, the rain kind of shrouded the view of it, especially as it moved further east towards the city.
Mm-hmm. Now, Nick, I want to bring you into the conversation before too long, because a lot of what people were seeing, especially through social media, was people on the road taking video, being terrified while they were in their cars. Now, there is a notion out there that being out in the open, on the highway, no parking, under an overpass or a bridge is a safe place to ride out the storm. True or false?
That's going to be false. And, you know, I appreciate you having us on. And, of course, AAA as well. Our hearts go out to everybody impacted, including our more than 960,000 members across Missouri and Southern Illinois. And AAA really started as a motorist advocacy organization, and that continues today with education on important topics like this. Mm-hmm. So the notion that, you know, an underpass can be a safe place to park during a storm is a complete myth. It actually has the opposite effect. What happens is that overpass can actually create a funnel for debris. So you think about that large debris field, it has to go through that overpass and it can create a funnel and actually pick up speed while you're sitting under there. There's also the potential for structural failure of that overpass, you know, which could cause more damage. So, and then not only that, what we really saw happen, you know, last week was you have traffic stopped on the interstate, and that creates a very dangerous situation for all the drivers that are out there during that storm.
It seems, though, that would be a natural reaction to stop. I mean, where are you going to go? Before we get to that point, though, I've heard from people that they were told that being under an overpass is the safe thing to do. Do you have any idea, Nick, where that comes from?
Not from any official, you know, standpoint, but I think you're right. It's the common sense, right? If it's raining, for example, you're out and about, you want to get under cover to stay dry. Mm-hmm. That's different, though, when you're on the road for the reasons that we discussed. You know, and also, again, it just creates a hazard for the folks out on the road.
Yeah. Nick?
Yeah, I was just going to
say. Kevin, I'm sorry.
You know, I think a lot of it comes from, you know, the movies, you know, both Twister's movies, they get under overpasses. And you know, and I think you made a great point about, you know, it's the debris. It's that 2x4 going at 100 miles an hour that does damage in a tornado. It's not necessarily, you know, the wind. It's the debris that you're trying to protect yourself from. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're sitting under an overpass, especially if you leave the car to kind of climb up and get under the overpass, all that debris is going to be funneled right where you are.
Yeah.
So it's just it's a horrible place to be. And I think a lot of it comes from the hail side of things as to why people stop there. Likely there was some hail falling, and so their windshields were getting hit and battered. So they're like, oh, I need to get under this overpass. But, you know, with a tornado on the way, and then not only that, like you mentioned, you know, you're blocking traffic. Mm-hmm. It's just a very dangerous situation.
So, Kevin, you talked about not being able to see the funnel because of some shrouding that would happen. And Diane says she's heard the myth that tornadoes don't occur when it's raining. I mean, hail, but rain, I mean, what about this?
Yeah, that's another myth. Actually, in some cases, the rain can kind of help the tornado in the sense that it helps kind of lower the cloud base and actually gets that tornado closer to the ground, or that funnel closer to the ground. Mm-hmm. So no, the rain, rain wrapped tornadoes actually around here are fairly common. That's why we don't get a lot of great pictures of tornadoes around here, because a lot of times they're wrapped in that rain. Mm-hmm. So we see that pretty frequently here.
Yeah. Let's go back, Nick, to vehicles and what's happening there, particularly when it comes to that debris. I heard for the first time someone say that leaving the windows open or opening the windows of the car balances the pressure, or maybe keeps the car from being rolled or thrown. What is what's the truth-o-meter coming in on that?
So I think Kevin can probably touch on the pressure changes when a storm like that comes through. But from a practical standpoint, if you are out when a tornado or a severe thunderstorm is rolling through, again, that debris is really what can cause a lot of damage. So having your windows down is going to, you know, put you at greater risk of exposure to that. And for that reason, you know, we would recommend if you are stuck out and you're stopped on the side of the road to keep your windows up, mm-hmm. simply to prevent that debris from coming through.
Okay. And we heard from Stacy, who also had heard that you should leave a window open during a tornado. So, Stacy, you are now the wiser for that. We want to invite you to the conversation. What questions do you have, perhaps, about myths or other things that you've heard about safety during tornadoes? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send email to talk@stlpr.org. Now, if you are in a vehicle, should you get out of it? So Kevin is seeking shelter somewhere else. Is that okay if you are on foot?
Yeah, the preferred method is to always be in some sort of shelter. So I always tell folks, if you're in a vehicle, you get that tornado warning. Like I said, now your cell phone will light up. So you're driving, you hear some audible alert. That's likely the warning going out. You want to find shelter, gas station, anywhere you can get off the road and get in a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
What we've heard lately in a lot of the latest research as far as what to do if you're absolutely stuck in a vehicle, you have nowhere else to go. I know the old myth used to be you hop in the ditch, right?
Oh, yes, that's right.
It did used to be that. There's issues with that, though. Obviously, you're putting yourself with no protection whatsoever when you do that. And also, ditches flood in storms. And so we've actually had in Oklahoma City some folks that did that, and they ended up drowning in the
goodness.
Ditch that they sucked shelter in. So
mm-hmm.
We always say, if absolute worst case scenario, like he mentioned, stay in the vehicle, head down underneath the window line, mm-hmm. because the windows likely will break.
Okay.
But, you know, vehicle safety has gotten so much better in the last 20 to 30 years that mm-hmm. your chances are better just staying in the vehicle. And if it rolls, then you have at least a chance of survival with your seatbelt on.
Okay. Nick, if you're in the car, do you pull over to the side of the road, especially if there's low visibility?
Mm. So that's a great question, and I think we're talking about, you know, severe rain, maybe hail, even dust, for example. You know, certainly making sure you can see and that other drivers can see you, that should be paramount during severe weather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why it's always recommended if you have to turn your wiper blades on that you also turn your headlights on, just to make sure other vehicles can see you. So, you know, certainly if you do have to pull over, you know, AAA recommends you pull over to a safe spot off of the lane of travel and turn your flashers on just so other vehicles going by can see you.
Mm-hmm. Staying in the vehicle, keeping low, that's all staying in the vehicle. How about speed? So is it, I mean, and this may sound like a stupid question, but if you're in your vehicle, can you outrun or outspeed a tornado?
Physically, maybe, but should you know? I think, you know, there are a number of ways to look at this, but I mean, you know, a tornado, you're not going to have any idea where it's going, how fast it's going, how large it is. So trying to outrun it is probably an unlikely scenario. I think to what Kevin mentioned, your best bet first, get inside if you can, find a safe shelter at a low spot, get in there. If not, hunker down in your vehicle. But, you know, I think, again, the images we get from some of the films and the movies of, you know, driving across a field trying to outrun a tornado, I don't know how realistic that is,
mm-hmm.
You know.
You're very much nodding here, Kevin.
Yes. Don't ever try to outrun a tornado. You know, even the storm chasers, some of them that do this for a living, there's actually the El Reno tornado. Some may remember back in 2013, there were chasers that unfortunately perished in that tornado,
mm-hmm.
because of the deviant motion of the tornado. So even if you think you're running away from it, sometimes you might actually be putting yourself more at risk. So
mm-hmm.
Outrunning a tornado, both from the speed and safety standpoint, you know, of how fast you're traveling and trying to get ahead of it, but then also just you don't know exactly where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely not a good thing to do.
We're talking today with meteorologist Kevin Deitch and AAA spokesperson Nick Chabaria, and we are talking about storm safety, especially given last week's tornado, which came through St. Louis. Kevin, you've been driving around the region collecting data from the path of last Friday's tornado. What is it that you have found so far?
Yeah, so we found an EF3 tornado, winds of about 150 miles an hour, and the path was over about 22 miles long. And we continue to refine that, actually. We're getting some high-resolution satellite data in that will help us kind of adjust maybe where it started and maybe where it ended. So some of those numbers could change with time. But just a horrific situation for the west and north sides of the city, and just, you know, just the worst type of tornado in the worst possible areas.
Mm-hmm. Nick, the roadways is another thing to be considering here, going back to the debris. And a large part of disaster recovery is making sure that the roadways are cleared. What would you like St. Louis drivers and those on other, you know, wheeled conveyances, bicyclists, and pedestrians to be aware of as these recovery efforts continue?
Well, especially, you know, right in the wake of the storm, it's important to let the emergency crews do their work. So stay off the roads, out of the affected areas as best as you can. Certainly, if you live in those areas, we understand you have to get to your homes and your property, but make sure that emergency workers have the room to do their jobs and get those roads clear. You know, also just from a debris standpoint, we saw homes destroyed, vehicles destroyed. So there's going to be building material, glass, nails, screws, you know, wood splinters all over the roadway in those impacted areas. So that can be, of course, hazardous to any wheeled modes of transportation, and just something to be aware of. Even as we're getting, you know, starting to see more cleanup, a lot of that debris may be hard to find, you know, those little nails and screws. So be aware that you may run into some issues if you're wanting to drive in the area.
Mm-hmm. That actually is pertinent to something that we heard from Susan, who wrote in to share the advice regarding shoes, that you should wear shoes during a tornado warning. And Brad adds that you should also grab phones and chargers while heading to shelter. Rochelle also wrote in to share that her mom, this is now getting into some of the myths and myth busting, that her mom would never let her take a bath or shower during a storm so she would not get electrocuted. Kevin, what do we know about the way electricity travels through our water systems, especially our tap water?
Yeah, the lightning can be very tricky. I actually have some personal experience with this one. A lightning strike hit a tree of ours, and we actually had some lights that connected to that tree from the house. So it traveled from the tree through the lights into our house and actually got into some of our outlets. So I do think the recommendation of staying out of water, staying away from electronics during storms, especially when you have a lot of those real close lightning strikes, is a good idea.
Okay.
Just to kind of stay very safe from the lightning, because lightning, as a meteorologist, lightning is terrifying to me because it's one of the most unpredictable things that we have.
What did those light, I mean, did the sockets burn? What happened inside the house?
It was wild. So it actually blew. So they were string lights that it traveled along. It actually blew some of the string lights completely off, you know, shattered them. Mm-hmm. And then it traveled in through the electrical outlet that those lights were connected to into the house. So it fried some of the nearby electrical outlets.
And that happened here in St. Louis?
It happened, yeah. It was okay. In Kirkwood. This was about last year for us at our house.
Right, right. We also have Jay, who is calling from Normandy with a question. Jay, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, two quick comments or a question, too. On the reason why people go to overpasses to be under them, they want to protect their paint or their windshield, obviously. And number two, we were up around 270 and 255. Post-Dispatch had a great map of that area, how far the tornado went. And we were pretty close to the wind down of it, but you couldn't see anything even up in that area, 270 and 255 in Illinois. And so what do you really do when you can't see? You just pull off and hope you're on the shoulder? What's your thought?
Mm-hmm. Jay, we're glad to hear that you're safe, first of all, and thank you for that question. Nick?
Yeah, I appreciate that question and great information for folks to know. Again, your main objective as a driver is to be able to see what's going on around you. So as that storm's starting to come in, if visibility is getting that bad to the point where it becomes zero, essentially, that's when you want to pull over, you know, before it gets to that point, but anticipate that storm coming in and get to a safe spot. It can be, and I'll acknowledge, it can be hard to make that judgment call, right? You're not sure where the storm's coming from. if you're on the road, you likely have somewhere to be. You don't want to be late, or you don't want to take the time to stop. But, you know, I think we just saw last week, you know, the power of these storms, and, you know, you're talking about lives at risk. So better to be safe than sorry, late to your appointment than not get there at all.
Mm-hmm. Was the timing of that tornado too? It was in the middle of the day. How much of that affected the outcome of that for those who are on the roadways, Nick?
Well, when you're talking about impact from a storm, of course, the more vehicles there are on the road, the more people that are out, the higher risk for damage and injuries and lives lost. So certainly that mid-afternoon tornado and storm presented its own unique challenges with the amount of people that were out and about.
Mm-hmm. We also heard from Dennis, and Dennis said, I don't know the efficacy of it, but I seem to remember if you're outside in an approaching storm and your hair stands up or starts to tingle, flatten yourself on the ground. Kevin, is there any validity to that?
Yeah, there is. So when you actually are about to get a lightning strike, you will actually feel the hair on your body stand up. That being said, you know, when you feel that, the objective is to get indoors, mm-hmm. get away from windows. You know, if you're absolutely nowhere else and you're in the middle of a field, hopefully not in a storm, you want to make yourself as small as possible. But if you're anywhere near a structure, same thing with a tornado, you want to get to that structure immediately.
Mm-hmm. There's also a myth that pertains to cities and non-city areas. And it was dispelled Friday because in the past, tornadoes have hit St. Louis. The last one was in 1959. Tornadoes do not hit cities, or St. Louis can't be hit by a tornado because there's too much concrete. So Kirkwood is not the city of St. Louis. How likely is it that you're going to get struck again?
Yeah, tornadoes strike everywhere. These myths, you know, this year has been a really good, you know, like you said, kind of a myth buster for some of these things. You know, they cross rivers. That's the one I hear all the time, too. The tri-state tornado actually in 1925, I think, crossed 7 or 8 rivers as it went through 3 different states. You know, I think sometimes people come up with these as maybe a sense of like to make them feel safer in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, this year we've kind of seen it all from tornadoes in the city to the rural areas and everything in between.
Okay. Tornadoes only occurring in spring or summer. Is that myth or is it truth?
That is myth. So some may remember the Edwardsville tornado that we had back in 2021 in the Amazon plant.
Right.
That was our last loss of life in tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
That was in December. So that was winter. We've actually seen quite a bit of more late fall winter tornadoes in the last 10 to 20 years.
How much of that can be attributed to climate change?
Some of it can be climate change. It's a little too early to say because some of these trends are a little more recent. And for climate change, you have to look at a very broad period.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something that we are certainly keeping an eye on and noticing more frequently as we're getting a little more of a kind of a late fall winter surge in our tornadoes.
Yeah. So, Nick, I am a AAA member, and I have been proudly one for a long time. And I know that AAA does offer insurance. For those who get insurance from other companies, are there any tips that you have for dealing with insurance companies on needed repairs and replacements that have come about because of the storm?
Well, certainly, anytime we have a storm of this magnitude and a loss of property that we have, time is of the essence. So, in the midst of all the chaos after the storm, one of your first calls you want to make is to your insurance company to get that claim started, whether that's for your home or your vehicle or both. And really just make sure you're staying in communication with your insurance company. Your adjuster will be able to walk you through that claims process. Every insurance company does it a little bit different. For example, if your car gets damaged from hail, you may just have to send some photos into your insurance company. They may not even need to send somebody out, but your adjuster will be able to walk you through that process and understand that it is a process. It's going to take time, but by and large, the insurance companies, the claims teams, you know, they're goal is to get you back to, you know, whole as quickly as possible. So the best piece of advice would be, I would say, over communicate with your company and the good ones will do the same with you.
Okay. And as we close, 10 seconds each, what's one thing you want people to take away for the next storm or tornado, at least to be ready for it? Kevin?
Trying to think here. For us, it's just have those multiple ways to get warnings. Like I mentioned at the beginning, having things on your cell phone, utilizing sirens, utilizing the weather radios, just things are going to fail in different assets of the warning system. So have those multiple ways to get information.
Mm-hmm.
I would say stay weather aware when there's storms predicted. Again, some of the best ways to stay safe on the road is to not be on them at all if you can mm-hmm. when we have these storms coming in. So make sure you're doing your due diligence and, as Kevin said, having multiple ways to stay informed.
Mm-hmm. Nick Chabaria is a St. Louis-based AAA spokesperson, and Kevin Deitch is warning coordination meteorologist with the National Weather Service. Kevin and Nick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.